together study the word of Almighty God. We're going back to the WGOD archives again today and picking out something which, well, as a matter of fact, from looking at the date, was something I preached on my birthday last year. At this time last year, May 17th, that was, we were in the book of Acts, and we were in chapter 19. This sermon is entitled Jesus I Know and Paul I Know. Actually, this sermon is entitled Are You on Satan's Bulletin Board? We know he has his own bulletin board, same as there's one at the post office of the most wanted. Satan has his own most wanted list. Are you on it? Are you a threat to the devil? Are you serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you using the gifts that the Lord gave you? Because when the child of God is using the gifts that God gave him, you're, first of all, you're indestructible. And second of all, you're like dynamite, spiritual dynamite. Are you on his bulletin board? That's what we're going to look at here today. If you'd like a copy of this, you can write to me, paul@wgodradio.com. That's a new email address I have. Very simple, paul@wgodradio.com. I can send you the link. I can mail you the disc. At the church, Wednesday nights, we're in Revelation chapter 18. We're going to look at the fall of Babylon, or at least what the Bible calls Babylon. We think that that's a code word for another city. So, but that's where we're at, chapter 18, Wednesday night. And, of course, as usual, you can follow along on the app. Do you have the Island Community Church app? There will soon be a WGOD radio app very shortly. Here now, though, Island Community Church FL is how you distinguish ours from the other Island Community Churches out there. You can download the app. You can watch the services live on there Wednesday night at 6, Sunday morning around 10:35. So this Sunday, we'll be back. I'll be back teaching again and starting a brand new book study that will be on 2 Peter. Love to see you. Here now is the only time this will play this week. Are you on Satan's bulletin board? Acts chapter 19. Let me say, high energy preaching can take a lot out of a person. And it's vital to plug into the source every now and then, or when God tells you, because you might not realize that it's time to recharge. And since I'm the pastor, I get to choose who those preachers are, and that's why I chose Ralph Williams a couple weeks ago and Pastor David Bryant last week, and because my associate pastor is so busy right now doing what he's doing, and his plate is full. So, but it's not your batteries that needed charging last week. They were mine. So I need an excitable fellow who's going to preach the whole counsel of God and hold nothing back. Someone who's not afraid to preach the truth, even if it hurts. And it's something that I might not want to hear, but you all are used to that by now anyway. So it was nothing new for you. And personally, since I am your pastor, I'll open up and share with you what hurt me the most that Pastor Dave said last week. He said that what you sow here on earth at some point in the future is going to come back to bite you. Do you remember that? Him saying that? It might be weeks or months, or it might even be years later. And that's why I always try to make things right away, or immediately after the Holy Spirit will convict me of something. That's always the right way to do it. You can stop that bad chain of events from happening by making something right before it comes to that. Reminds me of generational curses. I've heard of them. I believe in them. Listen to this famous text found in the book of Exodus, Exodus 34. In this account, Moses wants to see God. And as God passed by Moses, he made the following comment regarding his attributes, things that eternally describe the character of God. Exodus 34:6. As the Lord passed
before him, he proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. You also can read Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9 as well. You want to see this in action today? I would say, look at the Kennedy family. From Joe all the way down to John. But unlike bad things perhaps following you around, you can put a stop to these things, even generational curses. You've got a power and authority to stop and end any generational curses that might be on you and on your family. And you stop them, well, we just sung the songs this morning. And it's such an important message that God gave me and the Solanas the same music for today, and I had to change my music. He's got no idea the music that I pick out to, they pick out to. And we had the same songs. They were singing on the blood because there's power in the blood. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there can be a curse on your family or on someone that you know. The good news is, sorry, but it can end today. You don't have to go on with it. There's power in the blood to break any curses. His blood's got the power to stop generational curses. Listen to this verse out of Revelation chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 11, it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. So I say all that to say this, that Jesus Christ did not die in vain. No matter what you have done, there is forgiveness for it. No matter what your father or grandfather has done, no matter what curse some witch put on your family, or that God himself has allowed or placed on your family, it can all stop once and for all right here at the cross. Now, I don't know why, but that's what God wanted me to say to get started here today. If that's happened to your family, then put an end to it. Now, let's move on here. Acts chapter 19. And start this morning at verse 11. And let's watch a 2,000-year-old version of The Exorcist out of the NIV translation this morning. Acts 19, verse 11. It says, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul so that, Darren, we were just looking at this morning in my office. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Wow, imagine that. Without even a word being spoken, all they had to do was take Paul's handkerchief, give it to someone that was sick or someone that was demon-possessed, and the demon left. They didn't even have to say anything. Wow, I don't see that going on very much today. It can't go on today. Acts is a historical book. This stuff doesn't go on anymore. There's no more apostles today. This is why people are greedy to claim for themselves the extraordinary person known as the apostle. Notice the instantaneous automatic healing. Instantaneous automatic healing. Notice the demons scatter without even rebuking them. Not a word was spoken. Verse 13. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those that were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Now, seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you? That's hilarious. Who are you? Now, the NIV translates that different because they're two different words. Other translations that use the same word get it wrong. Jesus I know intimately. That's the word ginosko. And intimately because he created the angels, right? That's Colossians 1:15. All things were created through him and for him. And in him all things consist. Write that down. Jesus Christ created the angels. Yeah, they know him intimately. Jesus, I know. You bet your sweet bippy they know Jesus. And Paul, I am familiar with. Greek word epistemai means I've heard of that troublemaker from some other demons. Down there at the fire heater. Get it? Water cooler? Fire heater? Give me some credit for that. Come on. The demons down there at the fire heater. Have you heard about this guy turning the world upside down? Verse 16. Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. And he gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house. They weren't naked. They were naked. They ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Don't go messing with demons if you don't know what you're doing. I love this story. Again, I love the way the NIV reads, which is why I'm using it here for this text. First off, they got it right with the different words for know and translating it accordingly. Jesus, I know intimately. Paul, yeah, I've heard of him. That's the dude that's turning the world upside down. Now, there's a reputation to stick to you like glue. I've heard of Paul. He's going around the world winning souls to Jesus Christ. Will a demon say that about you? You don't have to be an evangelist or a pastor like me. You don't have to do any of the things, any of those things to end up on Satan's bulletin board. All you need to do is to be sold out to God. That is where the fear of you begins. Be sold out to God. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. Be sold out to God. And you'll find your name on Satan's bulletin board. As something that he wasn't counting on. Don't you want that? Will demons say that about you? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's all you got to do. Put God first in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Make the choice and the decision to let God use you for your remaining days on earth, and you will find your name on Satan's bulletin board as well. And when the demon punches his time card that morning and looks up, he'll see wanted, dead or alive. And I don't mean Steve McQueen. I mean you. Wanted, dead or alive. You. Jesus I know. And Ron Howard I'm acquainted with. He's that guy that keeps supporting ministries. And has been a pain in my side for 49 years. Because your name is on his bulletin board. You don't got to run a 9.900-yard dash. You got to be committed to God. And seek ye first the kingdom of God. Who else do I want to pick on this morning? Jesus I know, and Darren I am acquainted with. He's the guy that we used to own, that we don't own anymore. We don't own him anymore. We even had a curse on him. We even had a curse on him. Not anymore, because he sold out to God. And now Darren's picture is on Satan's bulletin board. It's on Satan's bulletin board. Jesus I know, and Carol I'm acquainted with. I know her too. She's the one that drives all over town saying Jesus loves you all over her car and the millions of other things that she does in Jesus' name. I know firsthand knowledge because I'm married to that woman. Satan hates my wife. He hates her. Matter of fact, Satan hates my wife more than anyone I've ever met in my life. I've never seen a greater hate than he has for that woman back there who made the decision long ago to be sold out to God and use her dang hours, her money, her thoughts, her drive, whatever she has, to add more names to the book of life and to be on God's side. And that gets your name on Satan's bulletin board. How about Jesus I know and Larry I'm acquainted with? He's that guy that's trying to end all those abortions in Merritt Island. Now, he might not be able to run around this building at warp speed, but his face, you got to look at his face. Because that face is on Satan's bulletin board, and he's hated. He's hated for what he does. He uses what God's given to make a difference in this crooked world, to help turn it right side up. Is your face on God's bulletin board today? Or could you not get a used demon to chase you? Where do you stand? Where do you stand? Friend, you can change that today. Right here this morning by becoming a threat. By becoming a threat in Jesus' name. Become a threat to the enemy's kingdom. All you got to do is say like Isaiah. When Isaiah says, is there anybody here? God said, Isaiah said, he wasn't even talking to Isaiah. Isaiah overheard it. He said, here am I, like Mike just said, here am I. Send me. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have or how much money you do not have. All you got to do is seek ye first the kingdom of God and volunteer and leave the results up to God. Believe me, God can use you to turn this right side world, upside down world, right side up. Hallelujah. Live the remainder of your days in purpose. Now let's follow this account here through to the end. Verse 17. All right, verse 17. I'm probably back in my New King James now. Now this became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. I love that. I love that. It's magnifying, like Psalm 34 says, come, let us magnify the Lord. When you magnify something, you make it bigger than your problems. The name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, like with a magnifying glass. Jesus was made bigger than their problems. This became known to all. Verse 18, many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. They counted up the value of them, and it was 50,000 shekels or pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Now, church, this is what revival looks like. The word of God gets changed. The word of God is preached. People's hearts get changed. They turn and repent of their evil. They get rid of all the evil stuff that they have, and they have a change in heart. This is what revival looks like. It starts right here. You believe, you start confessing your deeds, you repent of your sins. Then you gather together everything evil and cast it aside. With these guys, it was black magic books. Now, on the day of Pentecost, when's the day of Pentecost this year? Next Sunday is Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, everyone sold everything that they had, their homes and their businesses, and they gave it all away to men that were in charge of the church. So if revival is coming to America, and if the return to the time of the book of Acts is here, like I keep hearing it saying so many times, this is we're returning to the book of Acts, time to live in the book of Acts, I say, better get a good realtor, one who you can trust, and go and do all that Jesus told you to do. Go and sell all that you have. If you want to return to the book of Acts, you're first, and I'm going to follow you. We'll call up Waylon Duff, my buddy the realtor, and we'll start with your house. And you know what? I'll be the first in line to sell my business. I don't have a business. What a volunteer I am. You want to return to the book of Acts? Sell your house. Sell your business. And then take a bus down there to Texas and give it all away to the Guatemalans that are coming in across the border. If you want revival, this is what happens. This is the kind of stuff that'll take place and took place during a revival. Okay, let me move on. Just because I hear that so many times, that a great big revival is coming in the country, and it's time to go back and live under the book of Acts again. And if that's the case, then get ready. It starts with you getting rid of everything that you own, everything that you have, and giving it away. It starts there. But you can't give it to an apostle because there's no apostles either. Okay, down to chapter 20. Let's pick it up in verse 17. We'll skip through these other verses here. In verse 9, we see that Paul was quite the long-winded preacher. He was preaching so long that someone died. Someone sitting on the ledge of a window, and Paul preached all night long. And then the guy got tired, and he do what I do at 9:15 every night, ask my wife. Wham! Out through the window he goes, down to the ground, and dies. Now that's one long-winded preacher. All right, verse 17. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus, and he called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and to Greeks, repentance towards God, and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ." What did he teach? Repentance and faith. Verse 22. "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." All right, you see, Paul's got John 12:25 down. What do you think, Darren? He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Paul said, "I do not count my life as dear to me." So where do you stand on that? Are you there yet? Like many, if not all of us, how do I get there to that place? How do I get to that place that Paul is at? Where he says, I really don't care about my life. And Jesus says, if you love your life, you'll lose it. If you hate your life, then you keep it. How do I get there? I'm not there yet. Even the Apostle Paul, sometimes, he said, it's not that I have already attained, but I press on. How do you and I get to the place where we can disregard our lives like this? How do we do it? I actually got the answer to that question, and I'll let the Bible answer it, and that is out of the book of James. Let me read you the verse. James chapter 1, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2 says this. Let me read it again out of the old NIV. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, or various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops. Hupomone. You see, something happens to you when you face trials and undergo them. That's why James said to you, rejoice when it happens to you. Something transpires on the inside of you when you endure a trial. He says, count it all joy when you face trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops. And the Greek word, hupomeno. It's like a chemical compound. It's good for nothing by itself. But when mixed together, like two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen, once mixed together, that is a God-ordained trial and a you-ordained waiting on the Lord, and he will deliver you. What gets produced by that osmosis will destroy the enemy every time. And it'll turn you into somebody like this. Listen to this verse spoken by King David after he discovered this secret. This is Psalm 56, verse 9. Psalm 56, 9 says this. It says, when I call to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know because God is for me.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.